first order of business is a pledge of allegiance. We'd like to do this in the park.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we have a little change in the agenda. I'm going to let Tricia go at this point.
Yeah.
Our AA director.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. So I wanted to say a couple words right at the beginning. Richard, we're celebrating you today.
Oh, my goodness.
So we just have a few little things. So we are celebrating. Richard was honored on May 9th at Loudoun Care's Outstanding Volunteer Award Ceremony. And several of us were there, but for those that weren't, I would love to read just a very short little blurb for you. So Richard Payne is a retired U.S. Navy captain with 25 years of service to our country and more than 18 years serving Loudoun County. Richard volunteers at a number of Loudoun County organizations that contribute to the health and welfare of our residents, including the Knights of Columbus, Veterans Hospital, local elementary schools. Richard's also a community ambassador with the AAA, relaying information to social and church organizations on programs and services offered by the Area Agency on Aging for the elderly, disabled, and their caregivers. Richard's passion includes helping our 55-plus community, advocating for affordable housing and better transportation options for our residents. Richard also helps to get important legislation passed, to benefit local senior citizens during his time with the Northern Virginia Area Network, while also serving as the Commission on Aging Chair. So Richard, we wanted to thank you very, very much for everything you've done over the years.
Couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah, we congratulate you on your lifetime of service award. So congratulations, Richard. Please, everyone, Carrie brought in some wonderful goodies to help celebrate Richard's success. Yes.
You got to get hungry to be here.
Yeah. Well done, Richard. We appreciate everything you've done.
You make us proud.
Yeah.
You make me proud.
Thank you.
All is well.
All right.
I've got chills now. They call it chickens.
Yeah, so please, everyone, feel free to take a minute and help yourself.
Be a good time.
Get up at any point. Yeah, go help. And Richard, we're also sending a card over your way, so I'll pass it down to you. They can test it as well. You need a
Then we'll make a move to meeting, then we should pick up.
Okay. Tricia, you want to go on with the report? Oh, no, go ahead. We can go
through it
here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, I thought you went on.
Yeah.
All right, so then look at the agenda and looking for a motion to approve the agenda. Unless somebody has some changes.
Make a motion to approve.
Second. Mm-hmm. All in favor? All right. Okay. Guys have it. And introduction real fast, Tony Fasolo, I'm in here, tell jokes, and have a good time, and a lot of things happening, and we'll cover that, we'll be going further. Thanks, Richard, again.
Terry Hauser, Administrative Assistant for the Area Agency on Aging.
Amy Nestor, Adult Protective Services.
Donna Burton from Little River District. Marcia Pelt from Sterling. I enjoyed last month's field trip.
Oh, yeah.
Lakeisha McDurfee, at large, chairman. Mary Lynn Wilkins, I'm the Bobcat coordinator here in the agency.
There should be nine. Triple A. Eight Benjamin, Washington School. Samantha Horner, Dulles District.
Jennifer Jones, Assistant Director of Community Services here at the OCS.
Rich Payne, Wellington District. And Tuna Tully did a remarkable job speaking to the transit center representing the area agency.
Thank you.
Yes, you did.
Appreciate it. Okay, so. Service agency.
Okay. For last month, for those type of services, we had a total of 61 new investigations that were opened. And 69 that were carried over from the previous month. And we still have 7 investigators. 42 investigations were completed during that month. 11 of the new investigations required a 24-hour response. So we have to respond and make a face-to-face contact within 24 hours. And I think that's an uptick from what it has been. We've been a lot lower. 8 of the new investigations were in facilities, so group homes, nursing facilities, and we did not have any of the repatriations last month.
Any perceptions on what may have caused upticks? Is it summertime? Is it school?
Yeah, it kind of ebbs and flows, and last year in the summer we had an uptick as well, so I think that that's.
So it's a seasonal
change.
Yes.
I have a copy. I don't know if this was handed out in an earlier meeting. Did everybody get this? Talks about adult protective services.
No.
No? Yeah. Okay. I got 3 copies here.
I think
4
copies total.
And if I could just put a little plug in there, adult protective services. And AAA are having our World Elder Abuse Day tomorrow. So anybody wants to sign up to be?
Where?
It's going to be interesting.
It's at the lodge at Helen Burby, Hanson Park.
Yes, exactly.
Which time?
Yeah, I got
we
the flyer. I got a flyer.
Yeah, it was sent out to members.
Well, okay, yeah, here it is. It's tomorrow from 9 to 3 at the lodge at Hanson Park down in Albany. And they're going to understanding dementia and the increased risk for elder abuse. Abuse, neglect, and exploitation, what you need to know. Protect, and then the afternoon, protecting older and vulnerable adults from abuse, neglect, and financial exploitation. And then at the end, no more, do more stalking and older adults. And it's open to caregivers, community partners, law enforcement, social workers, attorneys, and healthcare professionals. Of course, we're all invited if you want to go.
Can I take a picture?
No, let me pass that around. Okay. Thank you. All right. Any other questions? Don't protect yourself.
Okay.
All right.
Would you like me to?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to introduce our speaker today. It is Mary Lou Wilkins. Many of you may know Mary Lou already, or you may know her. Mary Lou is the better half of Mike Wilkins. Mike, we know you're listening, so shout out to Mike Wilkins, who also received an outstanding volunteer award for project management.
As did
Mary Lou. Yes, for this very fact. So Mary Lou has, I've worked with Mary Lou for over 12 years now, right from the beginning. Mary Lou is our go-to expert on anything and everything Medicare related. Of very important note is that as of this Friday, Mary Lou will be retiring after 38 years of service. So you have about 2 days to access Mary Lou. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
To the Carolinas, right?
Yes, we're moving to South Carolina.
We're losing some very special
Like Murray, West of Columbia. It's a huge life.
We have a house right over.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And we lost Deborah Ressler, the volunteer.
Yes, that's right. So Mary Liz is going to be very missed, and we've appreciated all of her expertise and service over the years. But she's going to give us just a brief summary about open enrollment this past year. So take it away for the last time, Mary Lou.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Tricia. Again, my name is Mary Lou Wilkins, and I've done the VICAP Medicare Counseling Program here in Lyme County ever since it started in Virginia. In 1990, it was approved at a national level, and we started in Virginia in 1993. And they sent me down to Richmond to get the details on this new program we would be doing. And little did I know, it was a huge program, or it's grown into a huge program. And I brought the handouts I brought for you today. The flyer, of course, this is the little trifold, tells you a little bit of what I'm going to say today, what we do, and how to contact us. There's a sticker on the back that gives the helpline phone number. So anyone who needs anything or has any questions about Medicare can call our program, and either myself for the next 2 days, or my assistant, Jane Gretzen, or Laurel Thomas is a part-time worker, and then we have counselors, volunteer counselors during the fall that come in and answer. But we have lots of people that can help with any questions. And we have lots of questions. A lot of people are working past age 65 and the misconception is, oh, I need to sign up for Medicare because I'm 65. No, if you're working and you have group work insurance and the employer has more than 20 employees, then you don't need to do anything. You just continue with your group insurance. It would be primary. So I just give you a tip there. You know? Basically, we get a lot of those questions now because there are people that are working past age 65 and they're panicking because they think they're going to have some kind of penalty or they're going to be, you know, something. And so we just reassure them. And then there are a lot of people retiring. So we get a lot of phone calls. And the handout, the brochure, and then a little handout of some statistics. And I will tell you now that I put these together a few months ago. And the presentation was postponed. So I'm going to look at this as we talk about it. Again, it's VICAP. That stands for Virginia Insurance Counseling Assistance Program. We are a part of a national network of programs called SHIP programs. At the national level, they're called SHIP. And that stands for State Health Insurance Assistance Program. And all of those programs are funded by Medicare, and to provide Medicare counseling. And so when I describe the program, I usually don't use just VICAP or just SHIP. I put in the word Medicare because people don't know what those initials. Mm-hmm. So usually I say VICAP, Medicare counseling. So that kind of tells you who we are, what we are. They gave out 54 grants, all 50 states and the four protectorates. Territories get grants. So there's counseling in every state. You have relatives in another state and they need help with Medicare, they have a program to call. But they gave everyone who gets a grant, every state and territory can name their own program. So guess what? There are 54 different names of these programs. But at the federal level, they're all SHIP programs. But then at each state, there's one called SHINE, I think that's Senior Health Insurance. In Virginia, it's Virginia and Health Insurance Assistance Program. But anyway, that's what I do. That's the program that I do. We serve, there are 24 programs in Virginia in each area agency I'm aging. Our program, of course, is in Loudoun, so we help people in Loudoun County. There's one in Fairfax, Arlington, Alexandria. We're the Northern Virginia group, and then all across Virginia. There are other programs, and they're all called SHIP in Virginia. We help both Medicare beneficiaries, their spouses, their family, caregivers. We help anyone that has questions about Medicare. Most of our counseling used to be in person, and over the years it's changed, and our clients have changed somewhat. Now we do most of our counseling on the phone and the computer. I guess that was during COVID, we found out that we didn't need to print so many things. We could send them electronically, and people appreciate that. Most people retiring now are like, oh, yeah, send it to me. I don't need to drive anywhere. I could just, you know. So that's the way our program. We do phone, email, and in-person counseling. We also give educational seminars, presentations to groups, and have some media outreach. The next slide, slide four, just tells you our manager, or, you know, the names of the people associated with the program here in Loudoun. And the next slide are our volunteers that worked last year. We had 9 volunteers. 8 of those were counselors who actually helped with the Part D, which is the prescription drug program. The counselors helped people with choosing Part D plans. And then Mike Wilkins was our database and IT volunteer. He didn't do counseling, but boy, we couldn't have done it without our database. So next year, I hope those 8 return and help our program. Mike's going to be in South Carolina. So. but he also says that there are phones, and, you know,
he can work remotely.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, the next slide shows you some statistics, and I just want to point out that our contacts are not necessarily going up. I think this was for the year. We're not necessarily going up, but the time spent is going up, the counseling time. And that's because everything is getting more complicated. It seems like it's just, it's very confusing. And every situation is different. Every caller is different. They have a different situation. And so we're spending a lot of time with clients. The next slide shows the counseling topics, and this is just a section. We do have more topics than this. It gets into extreme detail, our data that we report, but these are the main topics. And you can see that the major two are just Medicare in general. What is Medicare and what are the parts of Medicare? And then the Medicare Part D program, which is a prescription drug program. That's 69% of our calls are from, our contacts are from, about Part D plans. And then the age distribution, we help anyone who has Medicare, or everyone, I should say, who has Medicare, and that includes younger disabled people, people who have end-stage renal disease of any age, and or Lou Gehrig's disease. So we help people under age 65, and you'll see on that chart we had 5 people aged 34 to 49 that we helped last year during the Part D, that fall program to help people find drug programs. But most of the people fell within the 70 to 79 year old group. Many of the people that we helped in the fall come back every year. They're return clients. We helped them last year find a plan. This year they're, you know, so we have a lot of return, and we have new people as well. But that's a little, and then we had 10 people that were between 90 and 97. Which are the whole gamut. The savings. Now, when we are helping people find a Part D prescription drug plan, if they currently have a drug plan, we run their analysis to see the projected cost if they stay with that particular plan, their current plan. And you'll have the cost would be estimated to be, I'm going to say, $1,000. And then it's run, the software runs it for all the other Part D plans that are available to that person and gives us the cost and ranks those plans in order of cost from the lowest cost to the most expensive. So when we do an analysis, we print out their current plan and then the two lowest cost plans. And if their current plan is more expensive, if they could save by switching to a lower cost plan, we call that savings. Projected savings, estimated savings. And that's what's on this chart on the slide number 9 on page 5. The estimated savings last year, October 15th through December 7th, that's the open enrollment period. That's when we do the analysis for people to help them see if they could save money, because the drug plans themselves, the insurance companies, change every single year. Mm-hmm. They change completely. They changed the drugs they cover, the pharmacies you can use that are in network. The premiums change. The co-pays for the drugs change. Deductibles change. They're just completely, almost completely different program, different plans each year. So we run those, and we estimated, we showed people how they could save $650,990 of money on their drug for this year, 2024. So, and that shows you how many people in each group. And the first column, the first row across, 0 to 500 shouldn't be zero. It should be $1 to $500 because we didn't track on here people. We helped 100-something people that couldn't, that really wasn't worthwhile to change plans. The cost is about the same. They can stay in their current plan, do nothing. It rolls over the next year. They're in the same plan. But of the ones, the 149 people who could change, they saved $650,000. So some years it's.
Oh, okay. So you're saying Part D is actually part of the other insurance policy. It's not like I'm going to say I want Medicare A, B, and D. I have to actually have insurance policy that's got to be in it, like prescription.
Yes, yes. Okay. If you're using original Medicare, the federal Medicare, you have your red, white, and blue Medicare card, mm-hmm. has A and B on it. That's all that the Medicare card's ever going to have on it. Okay. Medicare A, hospital, B, outpatient.
Okay.
And that's what you use for your medical.
Okay.
And part, if you're in original Medicare, you buy a separate insurance, a Part D insurance from these insurance companies I was just talking about. They're private insurance companies that have contracts with Medicare to provide the prescription drug coverage. And they, when they set the program up, they said just 1 year contracts is all they have. That's why they change every year. These are for-profit companies. They're looking to make money. So next year, they're going to change the drugs or, you know, their co-pays, their costs. And so you buy a Part D plan. And so you have one card that's A and B or medical. Usually you have another with a Medigap, a supplemental insurance. I'm getting into a lecture here. But then the third card is the Part D. The Part D card is what we help people in the fall because that changes every year. That's a tremendous, if you buy a Medigap, a supplemental that helps pay your co-pays to see doctors and hospitals mm-hmm. and whatever, you don't ever need to change that. You keep that. I tell people, you buy the best policy you can buy, and you keep it for life. The Medigap. But the Part D, you buy it, you look at it every single fall. You either run your analysis or you ask our office to run that analysis to see, is that still the best plan for you? Because all those plans have changed. And
you
have a computer program to tell you which is best.
I had to interrupt, and I apologize. How many plans?
30. This year, I think there's 26. 20-something is okay. In that. For Virginia, for our county, they're regional plans, so you have to put the zip code in.
Okay.
But, and then there also, I should not gloss over, that the other way you can get your Medicare, if you don't use your red, white, and blue Medicare card, you have to have that card.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have Medicare. But you can choose to go into a Medicare Advantage plan, which is a replacement for your federal Medicare program. Mm-hmm. And you have to go, you can only go in network. The doctors and the hospitals are signed up with them. It's a network. And they are supposed to cover everything Medicare covers, but they have prior authorization. Mm-hmm. So you have to, the company has to approve whether you get that CAT scan or whether you get the hospitalization or whatever. And so that's the big issue there. There's a lot of investigation into those, a lot of complaints, a lot of lawsuits that those Medicare Advantage plans are not providing the same care that you can get from Medicare.
So what about somebody that, like some of the government employees, they allow them to keep their Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Would that be considered like a Medigap? Or no, you're still
Federal's different. Let's not talk about federal right now. If all the other, besides federal, all the other companies that have retiree insurance is secondary to Medicare. Medicare, if you're eligible for Medicare and you have to sign up for Medicare, then it's primary.
Medicare is primary. And your other insurance, then do you need D?
If your retiree plan has D built into it, has drug
so
coverage,
it has the same.
And it's creditable, it's equal or better than the Medicare coverage,
okay.
then you can keep that with no.
So
it's
So A is free.
Well, you have to have,
oh, you have to have
the 40 quarters. Yeah. You have to pay for that while you're working. If you work 10 years, 40 quarters, you get Part A free. But I used to say it's free. It's not free. You pay for it while you're working.
Yeah, paying out our time. I know. Okay, so A and B.
Yeah.
Mary, so, I guess about the Part B again on prescription drugs. And
right.
A lot of military in this area. And there's TRICARE for life, and that's what I use. I don't know. Is that compared to other plans? Is that usually
you don't need a D plan? You got it built into your TRICARE.
And they even deliver it to my house. Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, and the federal.
That's one of the different.
As I said a moment ago, everyone is unique. Yes, it depends on what you have, what your questions are, what your options are.
It's a maze out there.
Yeah, very complex.
Where we carry all this. But hearing all this is like, wow.
And also the cost of it has gone up with me, too. I remember my mom's one.
It's hard to really get the word out to people. That's just,
next year, 2025, everyone who has a Medicare Part D prescription insurance, the new federal legislation they passed will take effect next year. They will be limited to $2,000 out of pocket, maximum out of pocket, $2,000.
That's good.
Thank goodness I'm not going to be here to mess with that. That's going to be nothing. But hopefully the software will take care of that.
During my early Medicare years, my Social Security had a subtraction for Medicare.
You have no choice.
Okay, so it does cost us something.
Yes. The Part B today is $174.40, I think.
Okay, so that's just
part of it. Almost $175 a month. Some people pay more than that. In this area, we're getting a lot of people who pay more than that because if your income is higher, or they look at your income 2 years ago, it's above a certain amount. We can go up to $500 a month.
Really?
And if you have capital gains, if you sell something and make a lot of money, 2 years down the road, you're going to pay that higher.
That's not any news for somebody that will have limited retirement.
Anyway, as we said, healthcare is very complicated. We have a wonderful staff. Jane Bretson is, I don't know if she's going to, she'll run the program for a while at least. And she's fabulous. If you have anyone that needs, has any questions, still call the number on the brochure. That'll get to Jane. And we also have counselors. We do outreach. That's slide 11. Sample comments. We did a Survey Monkey survey with our Part D clients last year. And those are some of the comments that they put, and all of their everyone is very, very happy to get the help and very satisfied, especially if they're going to save money. You tell them you can save $500. They go, whoa, yeah, thank you very much.
Can you just mention the TV ads? I know this is
be careful. Yeah, be careful of the TV ads, and just in general, be careful where you get your information about that. We have people all the time who call and say, my cousin told me, or my next door neighbor told me. Yeah, from their perspective, they were telling you what they thought was correct, but it might not be correct for you. Might not be the answer, and especially the TV ads, those are for the Medicare Advantage plans. Now, they put some rules on them that those ads have changed a little bit. They're not allowed to say some of the things that they said before, but they're very misleading. They're very, those ads are terrible. Don't say I said that.
They call too. They call and say.
They're not supposed to call. They are not allowed. Cold calls are not allowed. Now, if you sign up something somewhere, up there, or online, I want more information, then you've sold your number for them.
They call my mom and they're like, if you give us your Medicare number, we'll be able to whatever. And I told her, don't ever give any.
Just hang up or don't answer them.
Yeah, we've gotten those calls too.
No, don't ever give any information.
No, once every Yeah, 4 to 6 weeks. Simple.
Well, every TV ad has like 20 lines of
oh, yeah.
line free.
You can get it for free. Just call this number. And a lot of the things that they talk about that you can get the free money for the food and whatever, those are people that might, you have to qualify. You have to be eligible for those, and most people aren't. Mm-hmm. And so they're very misleading. Yes.
Okay, see, I think you clarified this. Part A is free.
If you have the work history, or you've been married to someone with the work history, you don't have to have it yourself. Your spouse could have worked, and you can qualify for Medicare through your spouse's work. Okay. See, everything's individual.
Then Part B is, as Mr. Payne said, is deductible.
Yes.
Because when you said free, I'm like, oh no, my husband's paying.
Oh no, Part B has a premium.
Yeah.
He could have Part A, the hospital coverage, and there's a premium for that.
And then the second part is we've had, so my husband is retired for a few years now, and he waited until 65. And at first it was, we signed on and charged this premium, and we thought it was free. Go to we just anyway. So now everyone's telling us we should have D, but I'm working.
You should have D. You won't get a penalty if you've gone more than a year without more than 53 days.
Because I am working and I have.
And you might want to call or
If you have work insurance,
you don't even have to sign a Medicare. That's what I could say. Because I'm paying.
As I said a moment ago, people working past age 65, married to someone who's working
married
past age 65 who has insurance to cover them.
So there's no penalty because
And when you do retire, then you have to get Medicare. There's a form that your employer has to fill out showing that you did have their work insurance, but that you're, you know, that they know they're short, so you don't.
So Mary Lou, they some of my coworkers were telling me that they were in shock when they applied. Yeah. As soon as they retired, the premium is huge, and they're saying because they're basing it on the salary of that year.
2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago salary. How long does that go on for?
As soon as you have, they look at your tax return from the IRS.
Okay.
2 years. If you sign up for Medicare in 2024, they look at 2022 tax return. That's called the latest finalized tax return or something. Anyway, 23s are not totally finalized yet. So they look at 2 years ago. And then as soon as you have a tax return showing your income was less than that, if it was a one-time you cashed out some IRA, stocks, bonds, whatever, or you sold something, then you present that new tax return, you appeal the decision, and it would be lower. So they will eventually do that, but it takes months for them to get it. So as soon as you have something that shows your income's lower, you appeal it and ask them to reduce your premium.
Yeah, some of them are at like $500 to $600 a month.
Well, that's, if your income's over $500,000.
So I mean, if you're retired, you're not bringing in that money anymore. So I don't know.
You get 1 month.
Well, yeah, some people do.
Me and
most of us don't.
No, that's why I'm working for now. Starting to help my little buddies here.
It's very scary.
So Mary Lou's program also does the Medicare memo, which you might have mentioned.
I didn't mention it was the one about the outreach.
We will make sure that's sent to all of COA. And like Tony mentioned, it is helpful if we can get the word out to everybody about this is a free service provided by the AAA. So there is no cost and it's unbiased. They're not trying to sell anything like the people on TV. They're just simply trying to help people find the best, most cost-effective plan.
Yeah, that's a concern. I guess now you would leave and Mike's leaving. Will Mike still be able to do the computer?
He was either. We're just
put a plan in place
trying to work that out. Or find someone.
He's done such a great job.
It would need to be someone with a database experience, access.
Yeah.
Microsoft Access database.
Right.
Mike taught himself that. He didn't have a background in that. Mm-hmm. He was in sales. He was in software sales. Yeah. But he taught himself over a year or so how to do that created our database. And then after we had used it for like 1 or 2 years, then COVID hit. And we really relied on, we found like what we were saved because we had the database. So, anyone with that background, access, database background, a real technical background, not just use it, somebody that knows how to write the programming behind the scene. That's what he has to do every year, change the programming. Yeah. And it's very difficult.
There is a government book, too. Everybody knows about that. You get that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
where did you get
understand
that?
The government
you get that in the mail when you sign up for Medicare.
Oh.
And then you can go online and request one. You can call our office. We get boxes of them. We don't have a place to store them, so we'll be glad to get you.
It's really pretty plain English.
Oh, yeah. Isn't everything?
You read it.
Isn't everything that's in that book also online?
Yes.
When
I was saying, where do you get your information? Medicare.gov. Any website that ends in .gov, G-O-V, like Social Security.gov, Medicare.gov, anything that's .gov, you can trust those sites. They're legitimate sites. They're going to give you the true information. There is a Medicare.com site. Do not go there. We don't know who it's evidently some commercial company. And so you can't trust that. And be careful of brokers. I'm sure they're wonderful people, but they may not be telling you what's best for you. Mm-hmm. They may be telling you what's best for you or what they sell, mm-hmm. or the products they sell. But, so just be careful. This is the Medicare memo. This is not the Medicare memo. This is a flyer about the Medicare memo that we send out every month that has short, it's not really a newsletter, but it's just little short articles about Medicare updates, things that have changed, things you might need to know. And you can sign up for it. I think Tricia said she's going to find.
We'll have Terry make sure it goes out to you. I think we already do.
What's that?
Your name and your email address.
Yes, I send it every time. It comes from Liz. Jane. Yeah, Jane sends it to me, and I send it to them every month.
So if you want to sign up and get it yourself individually on the different computer, you can, talk to us about it. We'll take a picture of this.
Yeah, can you leave that out so we can totally.
Sure. And we do try to do, Medicare 101, just outreach before open enrollment. This year it'll be challenging with Mary Lou leaving, and we'll be obviously having to hire to fill her big shoes. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing a book on how to do my job.
Okay.
It's the policies and procedure manual or something, but it's everything someone would need to know about. And I putting the material together, and guess what? Mike is helping me. He's doing index, or it's where you can just click on it, and it takes you to the page. Which I'm not technical, but it's right not there.
What if this happened?
Well, no, it's happened. What's required? We have to have annual checks on our volunteers. Our volunteers have to sign confidentiality agreements twice a year.
Yeah.
Certain, all of them. When I started putting it together, I was like, whoo!
You did all that.
I can't believe I did this.
We have very much appreciated Mary Lou over the years. She has done that.
You're so humble. Your team went up on the stage to receive the award, and you did not.
Oh, sponsored him.
You're not. You're taking a
picture. Outstanding senior volunteer team of the year. And I think I had that presentation. Several of my volunteers were out of town. Mm-hmm. So we only had a few there, but we're all recognized.
Well, we appreciate it. You've made my job very easy because you know what you're doing. And I don't have to worry about it.
So. Guess what I had to do last week?
I do.
I had to sign up for Medicare Part B. Oh, my God. To do something.
Yeah, one last question.
Actually, it's for Tricia. Do you have a Mary Lou for Social Security? Because Social Security is as complex as Medicare. Mm-hmm. There are
there's no one. And Social Security is, you can't get in touch with them.
They have a good website. And I said, well, I don't have anything. Well, you will someday. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, like a month later, I got a rash for, I don't know, 49 or something. I don't get prescription. But Social Security is just.
Yeah. So you might tell your senators and congressmen and whatever, because it has to come from a federal level. And they do this in 1990 for SHIP programs. They said, oh, wow. The 800 number for Medicare can't handle all these calls. They had an 800 number you could call and supposed to get help. And so they started, they gave out grants to all the states and whatever. They could do that for Social Security, I suppose, or they could have it. Social Security's budget has been cut over the past, I don't know, however many years. They don't have enough work.
Right. Mm-hmm. So and the VA.
That would be the solution is to fund Social Security so they can handle it.
Yeah.
So how many? That's my political statement. I'm sorry. I'm leaving. Don't say I said something.
How many months before your 65th birthday do you apply for?
If you need Medicare, if you're not working, have insurance. 3 months. They will not take it more than 3 months. But I always tell people start at 3 months. 2 months maybe, but 3 months. You never know how long these things are going to take. The last thing I'm getting out of here. I'm sorry. I had a volunteer that was so excited. He was signed up for Medicare, and he was volunteering with us, and he signed up, and then he got these letters that said, there's a problem with your application, and blah, blah, blah. And guess what happened? His name was listed. He had been in the military. He had had security clearances, worked on naval ships, worked as an engineer for naval secret stuff. His name was listed, his first name and his middle name were switched. It has to be exact. He had to go through and get his birth certificate. He didn't have it. He had to go to the state. It took him a few weeks to get signed up with Medicare. And you never know when things like that are going to happen.
Were going to turn 65 in January, but you're going to retire March, you still could apply before you turn 65.
Your birthday's in January, but you're gonna work until March. Yeah, you can.
You can still apply.
I always tell them, go ahead and sign up for Part A. If you're still working, sign up for A. In the system, you got your number. It makes it easier to get the numbers. Yes.
So 90 days before your birthday.
Yeah. And you can sign up anytime. If you're working past age 65 and you don't have it, you didn't sign up for either one. You don't need to. Mm-hmm. You can sign up for any anytime. There's no, and they're at a back date of 6 months. I'm leaving.
Take care. Good luck tomorrow. I wish I could.
Thank you.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Public guest. None. Approval of previous minutes. We take a look at the April 9th minutes. Mm-hmm. If there's any changes, correction, officially.
I've read them before.
Got to memorize?
Yes, we're
starting
to begin here
with
our page two.
Okay, motion to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
All in favor? Hi. Tony, now can I jump in a little?
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, I wanted to make sure we got Mary doing. But I apologize, I have to leave early today. Yeah. I have a long-standing appointment I didn't want to cancel. But I'll just give a very brief update so the rest of you can talk. We did want to thank Tony and Rich going with Tony to the Transit Summit. We really appreciate that you, a lot of information being thrown at you a day before, and you prepared it, got up in front of people.
I got to thank you, Leslie, for putting all that together.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, in a training type of thing I attended yesterday, I sat
next to Gladys, Ms. Hurwitz, who was our contact for all of this, and she is a transportation person.
Right.
I had never met her before. So this was great because she wants to work with us, and we could have her come, you know, talk with the COA. So she's a great connection.
Have you gotten any feedback from what, I know they were going to talk about the roofs, down anything less than 9 people, or, you know.
They are making changes.
They did come out with a free bus service.
That's right, as of January 2025.
Yeah.
But we'll arrange for, you know, if you'd like for her to come and, you know, just check, give you some updates. So that was fate or something that I just happened to listen next to.
Good idea.
Yeah, and the other updates, as thank you had mentioned, Deb Ressler did retire. So she's gone. And we're in the process of hiring the next person. Candidate, we're required, even if we have someone that internal, we still are required to post it.
Sure.
Thank you. And go through the hiring process, but we're moving it right along as quickly as possible. We are actually starting interviews next week, so I'm hoping the timeline is very quick. I'm the hiring manager, so we're hoping it will go quickly so that we can moving right along. Same with Mary Lou's, we have to do the same exact thing. So we have several positions we're currently hiring for. That's what I wanted to tell you for the next COA, which is in August. I believe we have July off. We have a lot planned for August, or in our minds planned. We're going to try to do a brief little orientation. We're restructuring the orientation for new COA members. We wanted to condense it somewhat and make it maybe as practical as possible. Any of the extra reading you can do on your own if you like about, you know, the Older Americans Act, but more so what your role is and what we do. And we're going to try to bring in some of the AAA staff to tell you more what they do, just like Mary Lou.
Yeah.
So you're more familiar with the different aspects of AAA and what everybody does and how the COA and AAA can work together, and maybe a focus that we can look at working together on. So we're kind of tying that in place for August. It was a little tricky with Deb Ressler leaving because we had an established orientation, but it's a perfect time so we can condense it and maybe make it practical for us. Let's see what else. I think that was about it for now. We have a lot on the table probably going into August meeting. So if you have any ideas as far as speakers as well, I know the I believe he may be coming in the fall, or I think it was possibly September.
Or September,
yeah. So just let us know. We'll work on that. And I don't think I had anything else for today other than Terry's going to watch the time because we do have to finish by 11:30. And I'll step out, but feel free to contact me. Yes.
And it's really personal.
And you keep in mind, because it's all recorded. So.
I mean, personal is part of it, not like personal. But so anyway, I wanted to introduce the idea of the members, COA members, being potentially retired later rather than so far. And I mean, I really couldn't make that happen.
Yeah, and I know there is we have to follow all county policies, so let me check into, I know something may have shifted, but I'll check what the actual current, because we can't as a,
or COA can't, but. I'm saying, as an idea, it's possible, I mean, not just to me, obviously, but.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate your input, and that would make it, you know, very. It's easier on people, but
yeah,
I will look.
I may not be here in August also.
Okay. Yeah, I will check on what that is because we're not, AAA staff cannot change any policy or make exceptions or anything. It has to go through the policy, but certainly let me look at that.
Do the supervisors make those rules?
The board of supervisors, yes.
So you should go to your supervisor, you go to your supervisor and tell them. It's one of their representatives.
I thought that was state rule.
There is, I know what you're referring to. There was a new legislation recently, but I don't know where it is exactly within the county. But let me check. You know what I'm referring to, probably that might have been then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Anybody else have anything for me?
Before you go, thank you again, everybody, for
You're welcome.
The applause and the card. I read the comments. It's very touching. And I took two copies of this to share, one with my lady and one with my neighbor.
You can bring all the copies.
Yeah, they're for you.
We just decorated the table, that's all.
Send my kids say, this is what your dad does.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, can I do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And Tricia, you are not retiring, correct? Ever?
I can send you a, I'll send it, I'll email it to you because I wrote on this.
Oh, that's
but let me send it to
okay,
you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't write that. I could believe them.
Okay.
It's, I stole it.
We have another one for you,
Joe. Yay! You don't want to frame it? Put it in your kitchen? Oh, sorry.
I think we have one,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
That
was
Linda. Carrie, what are we at?
How many members? We're missing Mike's position.
So we just have
one. Eight. Oh, okay. So we have eight out of nine.
Right.
We have one.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should say this now or anything, but I did attend the energy equities focus group, and it was very interesting. I think it was three people, including me. Anyway, they are going to have a summarization of the studies and needs of going to town in October, September, October of this year. So we're moving that.
Well, I think if Tony were in here, he'd probably do your individual. So maybe that count as your.
There
he is. Yeah. You perfect timing. You're ready to do, I think, chairman's report, and then all of yours.
We covered a lot of things I wanted to mention already. It's just amazing. I appreciate all the moving parts in this organization.
Yeah.
It's a shame we're losing a couple of good people. We did have the mentioned volunteer recognition, the visit to Echo. I think everybody got that visit. And so don't forget, they do have a store that I'd like to let people know about. And I let people know that, and I was surprised a lot of people knew already, which is good to know. Including the mayor. I said the mayor of Leesburg.
Oh, yeah. I go there. Great.
The Transit Summit, we're going to get a report. Then the program tomorrow, mentioned it's open. Okay, yeah. Then don't forget the next Tuesday is primary election day. Just make sure everybody knows. Early voting has been going on, and they're busy. I voted yesterday. I think that was voter 1,000 something in the place.
There's actually a dashboard if you go to the lab.
Oh, yeah.
You can see. I click on that to see how many people vote. Oh, that's good. Yeah. I didn't even know about.
I'm going to be working at the help desk at the Smarts Mill over here. If voter comes in and they don't know what to do with the voter, they send them to me. I get an extra $25 for that.
Yeah.
And I am amazed what if, they move this date and move that date after that date. And there's all kinds, and then there's still, this is something, well, fairly new, same day registration, same day voting that happens. And remember, it's a dual primary. So, and in Virginia, you're allowed to vote in either one. If you're a Democrat, you want to vote in the Republican primary, you can do that and vice versa. It doesn't matter.
Can I also add, if you have a mail-in ballot, you haven't mailed it in yet, you can go to any of the three early voting satellites or Greensburg, which is next door. Because some people are like, oh, I forgot to mail it in. You could go to Claude Moore. You could go to Percival.
And drop it off.
And drop it off.
I just want to, one more thing about voting. I've been doing this for a long time, and we do need people, but you know, some people that want to work the long hours, and you start, but you could work a half a day also, but you start at 5 in the morning, you go to about 8 at night. You get a compensation. I always say it's, the election officers work from dawn to setting sun, and then a chief is never done. Anyway, it's a long time, but they have very good training for you. And I want to know that Judy Brown is the lady that's in charge, and she's terrific. And there's Ariel Schumacher is the lady that does the training. And we have a very good system, checks and balances. And some people trying to throw cold water on things, and we've got a good system. I know we have it. If we all take a note, and nobody knows, who's, we don't push any candidate. We make a big deal of this. And then we make every effort to make sure an eligible voter gets a chance to vote. There's all kinds of things, provisional voting, and things. So that's good. So anyway.
And one more thing. There, if you have limited mobility or there's handicapped parking and they have curbside voting, so for some reason you can't walk inside, there's actually a button you can push. It will come out to you with a clipboard. Everything's official. So there's no excuse not to vote.
I think that was set up for disabled people, but anybody can use it. And you can always ask for an order of fries too. I was
And if you can't see some of your spouse or someone else, your child, can you help you with the ballot?
You have to fill out a form.
You have to show ID and fill out a form.
Show ID, fill out a form. You can get assistance with your spouse or your child and your parent or whatever.
And they make it easy. I mean, it's and the boxes that we talk about, all that people breaking in those boxes. Those boxes are secured, and they're emptied by a Republican and a Democrat at the end of the night, at all times. There's always two people. So, never. Anyway.
And it's our neighbors. Yeah, I mean, we know everybody who's there.
So, I mean, if we don't have a voting system that we can trust, and what have we got? So we've got one. There we go. All right.
And Judy runs a tight ship, too.
Right?
Judy Brown runs a tight ship.
Yeah,
Judy Brown.
She runs a real tight ship.
She's the best.
She does a great job.
Yeah. Okay. Anything?
No, I have been totally distracted.
Okay, we've been doing talk a lot.
I've been totally distracted this month, and I have done nothing. Okay. I've done a lot of things, but nothing for the CEO.
Okay. Well, it's an ongoing thing,
I'll get back to it.
Yeah.
I have a question about September, but that might be under new business. I'd like to know more about the legislative breakfast, but maybe you're going to talk about that. I'm thinking 90 days
ahead. That's the end band.
Yes.
There's our end band lady. Talk about September legislative breakfast.
Is this the time to do that? Because I'd like to know who planned it.
Leslie Katz will be letting us know. Usually it's Fairfax Country Club.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the second Friday of September, so with my schedule, a lot of us are still working.
Yeah, we could maybe carpool or whatever.
It sounds like we should all attend.
Richard's been there before. And
8 a.m. Do we wear loud t-shirts?
We'll get more information too.
But that's a yes, we should go.
Actually, the COA will tell us, and actually they register us, and it's
correct.
Yeah, they'll go over the legislative agenda, and then there will be legislators there also, usually.
Mm-hmm.
There's a,
okay.
We say that out loud.
That's a right, that's a good tie into.
Well, when Keisha got her job, I'm going to the legislature.
That's right. Sure,
yeah, tell us about what you're working on.
So, for InVan, I am working on and chairing the Certified Nursing Assistant Recruitment and Training Initiative. It's cost-free, right? Cost-free training for our CNA.
Congratulations on getting that for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It felt great. So the other one that I was very passionate about, which was the returning citizens, the returning aging citizens, it didn't quite make it. However, I have been able to have some really great conversations with a couple of delegates. So I haven't just put it to the side. I'm still working on it.
What is the substance of that?
So for the returning aging citizens, they're returning from prison.
Oh, I see, returning.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a foster care stipend. Now, that may change, right, depending on how the conversation goes with various delegates. And oddly enough, over the weekend, I went to a aging community fundraiser, and Ms. Terry and Ms. Erica were there. And then I actually had a chance to meet Delegate Hope. So that was really good. We had a great conversation, and we had a great follow-up conversation yesterday. And to that end, next month, I'm going to Deerfield, which houses the largest population of aging prisoners. So I'm going there to do an assessment and tour the facility.
Is that a state?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in Deerfield, beginning of January. It's about 4 hours away. So I get to go there next month. But in the meantime, I'm working on the CNA initiative, and Mr. Tony's on my committee, so thank you very much. We had a meeting yesterday, and we're just going to write the language for that, and everybody goes to
another meeting again next Monday.
Yes, next Monday, and I'll have the write-up tomorrow.
Okay.
So it's an initiative that will be presented to the legislature.
Yeah, so it'll be presented at the breakfast, right? And then hopefully some of the sponsors take it to the general. So we'll see how that goes.
Is that a budget item?
It's a budget item, yeah. I think it's a model of what was already done in the state, so it's already been presented.
Yeah, they don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Correct.
Yeah. So it makes a little
So I'm still working the guardianship. I've been working with APS, and I went 2 weeks ago to meet another person. They reached out and asked if I would consider helping. So I met her, and oddly enough, she tells me this great story about she was in a shelter, and she's like, I said, do you have any food in here? And she says, oh, I just eat tangerines. I'm like, what? So she goes, when I was at the shelter, there was this lady, and she would bring home-cooked meals, and it was so good. And she was like, and she's the only person who would bring a home-cooked meal. And I go, oh, my gosh, she's one. That was my mom. Yeah, the shelter allowed my mom to bring home-cooked meals. She was the only person from the church that they would allow. Yeah, so I said, that's my mom. And she said, really? Then come to find out, she knew my grandmother because she went to the same church. So it was nice to connect with her. And there was an isolation issue. She had no phone, no television. So hopefully, I'll know tomorrow if I'll get to work with her. But it was just nice to meet her.
She talked and talked.
But she has no phone.
No phone. And I sat right there, took it all in. And then I spoke with Chair Randall. And she wanted to know, and I think I mentioned this in our last meeting about care for caregivers. She is interested in us trying to do more in Loudoun for caregivers. So last week or so, I sent Mr. Tony a long email about ideas that I have.
Yeah.
So we're gonna revisit that and the.
Yeah, Leslie Katz's.
Yeah.
I thought she was gonna be here today.
I did too.
But yeah, within the follow-up with her on that.
So initially, what she's trying to get us to do is to show some more support for caregivers, whether it's your parent or whether you are just a caregiver, you know, going into someone's home. So because you feel like they're often forgotten, which I agree.
Mm-hmm. I think part of our thing is to educate Chair Randall. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I think there was an advent initiative.
That was one. Yeah. Mr. Michael brought that one up.
Yeah.
So I've been talking to Matt, who is Chair Randall's chief, and every time something comes in from Ms. Terry or whomever, I forward it to them so that they do know that we are doing things in the community, or at least AAA. So we're just going to try to find a way to piggyback off of what's already there. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel, and then, you know, we'll have a present also in the community, right, which is important.
Good.
And that's it for me.
Okay. But you mentioned something that Chair Randall mentioned or asked that the transit someone also. If you want to know if hospitals provided transportation for patients, they don't.
No.
And that's the answer. Went back. Yeah. I just want to double check with them. Check, you know. But there is the volunteer caregivers, Loudoun Cares have caregivers. Mm-hmm. But again, it depends
on
volunteers.
Like, do they run 24 hours a day?
No, it's more like if you have a regular appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I believe that's the way it works. I mean, that's what I've my experience. But again, do we have the volunteers? Yeah.
Right.
That's all depends. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Dave?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
So I did attend the Transit Summit online, and God bless it, at 11 o'clock at night. So. but they hashed out a lot of different things. The main thing I think you already mentioned, Mr. Tessa, was that January 1, 2025, this is still an initiative that hasn't passed, but they're going to do some financial reconciliations to make sure that county can afford it, but everyone will ride free. So they wanted students to ride free, and I forgot who was it, Ms. Burke and Stone. I think she is the Algonquian supervisor.
Julie.
So she wanted students to ride free. That was her goal. Mm-hmm. They hashed it out, and everyone would ride free once the budget folks say we'll go. So that was good. Also, Mr. Paterno, I believe his name is
Matt.
He brought out some good things, some good thinking idea, which was that we don't want to adhere to be counteracting what Metro is trying to do and other regions are trying to do. So he didn't really want the free funding because he said it's a dollar, people can afford a dollar, but the main idea was that Metro, you know, the Loudoun and all the other regions support a lot of money into Metro to subsidize Metro. And obviously, Metro is not in Loudoun County as far as buses, as far as really one station. I've waited since 1992 for that to come. That one station in Ashburn, but the main idea was that he wanted to look at the holistic approach to transit and allow the one for the disabled and the elderly service with paratransit is working well, and there's consensus that it's working well from the population, from the community, as well as staff, as well as the supervisors. And they're getting feedback from their constituents. So I really was happy to hear that because I honestly didn't even know that existed. So that was on May 29th, on a Wednesday night. I also attended the focus group for the Energy Equity Summit. And I really didn't have any background on that. So for me, energy equity meant perhaps helping subsidize heating, cooling, that type of thing, you know, heating power, electric, or gas, if you have a gas home or if you have an electric home. So I thought it was some sort of a voucher program that perhaps they're trying to establish, but it's way more than that. And the good news is that it's just my focus group. And like I said to Tricia earlier, with myself and the host, if you will, she's a consultant. Loudoun County's hired and two other folks, one of which was a disability board chairman, and they really had some good input. And there were five questions. I'm sorry, I don't have my notebook, but there were five questions asked from each of us about energy equity and what it meant and what are our goals and what do we think we have as far as Loudoun County. In other words, an asset that Loudoun County has, or the what's good that exists about Loudoun County that will help with energy equity, and what are the minuses, the costly minuses, if you will. So there are, I guess, the five questions that dealt with that, and the consensus was that financial stability exists in Loudoun County, so that there could be a voucher program, there could be energy equity in Loudoun County. But now they have to hone in on other groups and several focus groups that they're interviewing, if you will, meeting with, as well as surveys, as well as outreach. And they're going to summarize the needs, the goals, actually defining. We have to define energy equity as not just defined because I just told you electrical and gas. Anyway, so they're going to summarize the survey results, the goals and needs by the end of September, and we're going to establish. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did mention that.
Yes,
I love that.
Everybody know about the senior cooling for Dominion Electric. Has 34 years now they've been doing this. They provide electric fans and air conditioners. 60 plus living in Loudoun County, and then their income died by. So
they're on the last thing on
the many programs. I see. Well, why don't we do this? Oh, here we are doing
it. No, but this is way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And the Metro, we've been paying in the Metro for years.
Yes.
Even with Alice Stockton.
Yeah.
We never had it. I know I've been here 30 years now, but we pay into it.
Yeah.
Of course, the mayor way back when, oh, yeah, we're paying. Even other stuff.
Well, we have to, and I think it's because of the fact that we're accounting. Unless we. The last thing I wanted to mention was I mentioned earlier, I think you were late for a minute, was that, and this is personal at this point, but I wanted to introduce the idea of being able to virtually attend three times a year rather than two. And it's, for me, it's for medical health reasons. I'm hoping to have surgery soon.
Tricia, did you take that up?
Yeah. Yes, sure. I just wanted to mention
it
to
you. From her, yeah.
Right. But and I know NVAN has, and I don't know where it is, Tricia, but NVAN had an initiative for all meetings in the state.
And so they do. You see, they are not an official organization.
Correct.
It's just a bunch of lobby people come together to drink beer and play cards. humor aside. But that has been an issue of discussion, that NAM is not controlled by legislative issues.
Yes.
Concerns.
No, but it's the environment after COVID has changed.
Yeah, and indeed, as Tricia said, it has to be something that is initiated by the Board of Supervisors and perhaps even approved by the state legislature.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But that process is seemingly ongoing.
Oh, wow. It's in our COA bylaws. That's what I was thinking. I haven't sat down and read every bylaw. Unfortunately, I probably
should.
But
yeah, we were able to get some change. But
yes.
But Richard's right. Has to be done by the boss or the major state.
It's an idea.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Okay, I was going to talk about the early voting, but Tony and Marcia did a great job covering that. And so just to repeat again, early voting is on its way, and June 18th is the last primary day that you can vote. It's important to let us hear your voices at the stations.
As the 10th congressional district is
10th congressional district. It's Senate.
The Senate and
congressional.
The Republicans have two races.
The Democrats,
there's an incumbent for the senator and
multiple candidates on all races.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So I just wanted to mention for anybody that's interested, on June 18th, Attorney General Mieris is having a program in Loudoun on the fentanyl awareness and Narcan training. It's very important because we are having a little crisis with fentanyl going on, where unfortunately, you know, people are wanting painkillers, whatnot, and they're laced. So the program is June 18th from 5:30 to 7:30. It's at the Community Church, 19790 Ashburn Road, Ashburn. It's really, I've gone through Narcan training. Very good to have that skill if somebody overdoses and you're able to give them, and it really one boost of this Narcan, people come back to life. So we hope that, you know, we never have to be put in a situation where somebody is dying, but it's good to know how to, you know, deal with it. So anyways, if you can,
that's election
day. It is June 18th is election day, but it's from 5:30 to 7:30. So, okay.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking at another one. There's something in Leesburg too. I think they're having a similar, training on Leesburg, but maybe fentanyl awareness. Maybe the sheriff is doing that.
Yes, our Sheriff Chapman does many opioid and fentanyl trainings, and he's doing a great job for awareness too. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anybody?
Much like you, I was very busy this past month. Two grandsons had birthdays, 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Oh.
High school graduation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know. And next year we have 3 high school graduations, all over the area. Fortunately, we've got a set of twins from McLean High School.
We have
grandsons and a granddaughter from West Springfield High School. So fortunately, they're both all in Fairfax County, so they won't be the same day.
Yeah.
But the event was, the graduation was down at DAR.
Oh.
And that place was chock-a-block. There are 560 graduates, and you can't believe that whole DAR hall was full of people, and tickets were limited. I mean, it was hard to get tickets. Second issue is more on the recreational side. On Friday of this week, the Cascades Senior Center is going to have a performance by the ukulele group. They're going to be accompanied by hula dancers from Dulles.
Oh, nice. Oh, Dulles has quite the dancers. Yes, they do.
So this is, I think, 11, 30 or 12.
Is there a hula hoop for lunch?
Yes. Right. I can also do the hula, but I'm not I'm the MC also.
Oh,
and
that makes it extra special.
Absolutely.
Where does it get
adults? This is Cascades. Yeah. So it's.
Take a picture of that.
I've attended several of these, and they are just wonderful performers and entertainers.
It's all Hawaiian music.
Music, dancing, the whole works.
I mean, as the announcer, I have to do research to find out about things, you know. Talk about school, about songs, you know, like the song Tiny Bubbles, which is performed by a Hawaiian guy was initially offered to Lawrence Welk.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
a fair exactly.
Yeah.
So, a lot of little things. Stop by and you'll become even more educated in Hawaiian stuff. Like, recently, the state of Hawaii formalized the shaka sign is a hello sign for Hawaiians. But that's, I'll let everybody know.
Oh, is that a good luck also? Or is this,
yeah, this is thumb and little finger. No, not four finger.
You have too many fingers.
Okay, I've got arthritis.
You might be saying something.
Careful what you do.
Yes, be careful what you do.
Okay.
Ryan reminded me. I attended the transportation, but also virtual.
Okay.
I forgot that part.
Okay.
I just tuned in for
that. Yeah, when you're in your car, I was there.
Got your credit for the day. Okay.
Tony.
I have been in Springfield.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And I will see you in August.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Speaking of August.
I have to get to real work now.
I won't be here in August. I'll be in down in New Orleans, Grand Central.
Okay.
Your question.
Well, maybe we got a quorum.
Sure.
Old business, we can talk about new business.
But August might not be the best time to have that.
Quarter. I'm wondering. Yeah. Well, maybe will you be able to make it August?
I have to call and schedule surgery, and I'm scared to death. So the answer is it's a question mark because of if I have surgery in July.
Yeah, Sammy said you'll see us in August. So maybe we'll
and
just
Robin.
And Robin.
And Robin might have to ask.
Is quorum five?
Yeah, we have eight, so we'd have to have at least five. Mm-hmm. Eight. We have eight members. Yeah, four. Four members. We have eight members. So we're missing Catoctin District. So we'd have to have four.
So we have a quorum.
I'm talking about August.
Yeah, I know, but we have a quorum. Yeah.
If Robin comes.
If Robin.
One, two, okay. That's you're waiting. Okay. So if Robin comes, we'll.
And Faith can come by Zoom, maybe.
No. Okay. Well, I have to.
And that's why. Oh, I understand now.
You want me to ask Robin?
But I could probably come by Zoom.
Should I ask Robin?
Yes.
She's going to make it?
Yes.
In August? Okay. And then we might have to change our date.
And that's August 13th. It's on your agenda.
Okay. I'll ask Robin. No, otherwise maybe you have to change. Okay. Anything else?
I like the idea of the lady from Gladys. I think she said from transportation.
Yeah, having come in and talk.
Yeah, and then the lady that I met online at the focus group from the disability board.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear about that. Okay. What they are working on. You know, she's a young lady. Do you possibly know?
Okay. For a future issue meeting. Mm-hmm. We also talked about going next door here to the
hunger relief.
Relief. Food pantry. Maybe combining two things. You know,
that would be
have
great.
A short meeting and then go there and
great.
See what's going on and maybe help out. I've been in there. I know I'm not the new place, but they have a set system. You know, you get a certain amount, you get this fruit, you get this amount of packet, and then it's provided.
I know. We tried to sign up as a church, and they had a waiting list.
Oh.
They have a lot of volunteers. But that was that is a good thing. That was about December-ish last year, so perhaps, and they've expanded since.
Yeah, now they have the church. I haven't seen that before. So that's a good organization to support.
And I think you've also talked about having someone here about the real estate tax.
About the tax. Yeah, that's
which, one. Considering how real estate is going up in value.
Yeah.
I think George is supposed to be here
in September. Yeah, he serves on a committee, so he can't come until September.
I think that in housing support, you know, if there's anything, I talked to a lady voting one time. She was in election that, you know, they do have programs for people who have problems with housing, and other than Loken, that the county does something, so it might be good to know that.
Yeah, but, a few months back, I can't remember now. Perhaps February. I think it was February. I introduced the idea to MBAM of introducing an increased level because it happened. Anything with tax relief.
Yeah,
I worked with Mr. Wirtz for 11 years, so. Yeah. I was deputy commissioner of revenue for Loudoun County. I worked on the tax relief program as a support backup when we had locations coming out of Kwazu. That was probably 2005. I can't imagine it right now. Mind you, at that point, we had two people working on that. Now I'm sure that they were on it. But the main idea is that the state of Virginia sets the limits, and then the counties have some leverage, but not.
Yeah.
There's a ceiling and there's a floor. And so the counties have the leverage of what the floor is and what the ceiling is for income. Because it's income and or disabled and elderly. And I think they also have now a veterans portion, which they introduced about 5-7 years ago. But so I introduced the idea to MBAN. For MBAN to take it as an initiative to ask the state of Virginia to increase the both the income and the assets, actually, it's the assets. So, Loudoun County, as we heard, you know, there are a lot of folks with a lot of assets, but it's really in their home. And then if you have income that's above combined income of 8,000, I'm going to say it goes up from the inch by inch each year in July. July 1 becomes effective on this day. I don't know where that went to anything.
So, real estate tax is something that we're fortunate that we have data centers because the taxes that they pay have kept our real estate tax rate.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it's even been lower this year. So, don't buy it.
Yeah, the rates are lower, but when you increase the value, there is still an increase.
That's the game.
You see our neighboring counties who have far higher tax rate per 100,000. So we're fortunate in that regard. But still, as you said, we're in a very wealthy county, and wealthy county means valuable real estate. And valuable real estate means higher taxes.
Okay.
Yeah, that net, that income you were talking about, is that net or gross?
I want to say it's, there is a subtraction for Social Security, and it depends on who's in the household and the number of people in the household and who's earning.
That's not property tax.
No.
Real estate tax?
Real estate
tax. Is not real estate tax. Is just based on one thing, the value of the house.
We're talking about the tax relief program.
So if you're seniors and disabled,
you're right.
The
tax is based on the value of the house and the rate of tax. That's the equation to calculate the real estate tax. And personal property is NADA, US value, times point, it used to be 426 per 100. But the thing that the tax relief for the elderly and disabled looks at is your assets and your income.
Yeah.
And your age. Age, assets, income.
Now, my question was, with the income, is that on gross or net?
So the answer is it depends on who's in the household. Like if you have a younger person in the household, if they're both 65 and older, then it's usually gross. If it is someone who is maybe caretaker that is related,
then they subtract out some of the income. There's a equation there. But the tax, I can send you the information. It's online.
Yeah, I can access it online. I'm not interested in myself, but I know a lot of people who would probably benefit.
Yes. And Mr. Works is really good about outreaching. We did that too. We used to go to Cascade Action Center in the early 2000s and Ashman Library. And I think those out to Percival with his family. I think there are about 10 sessions each year where he's outreaching and explaining the program. And there were some people in that office themselves.
Bob Works.
W-E-R-T-Z. He's been around since 2000 as a commissioner of revenue since 2000.
He's no longer commissioner,
right? No, you're thinking of Zern.
Oh. Zern. Yeah. It's Henry Eichelberg. It's the new treasurer.
The treasurer's
Henry Eichelberg.
Just retired and now we have a new treasurer.
I've known Bob Works before he was told that.
Oh, okay. You must be from Percival.
I'm not that area.
Yeah. His mom.
Looking for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'll do it.
Opposed? Second. I have to close. Everybody say aye.
Nice to meet you.
We're adjourned. Okay.
And Lena.